Good morning, everyone, and happy Pride. You are very welcome to St. Stephen's Green Unitarian Church. Welcome to everyone who is watching and listening on our webcam, and welcome to you if you are listening to us on our recordings page on our website. My name is Gavin Byrne, and I am a member of this congregation and a student with the Unitarian College. We have a tradition of an open pulpit, where members of the congregation are given the opportunity to lead a service, and today I am up. Our opening words. Today is our Pride service. And by Pride, we don't just mean a parade, a tea dance, or even a march. What we mean now is more than ever. What we mean is now more than ever. We must find the strength to live our truth unapologetically. We must find the force of will to fight like hell. We must find the audacity to care as if all our lives depend on it, because it does. In the midst of Pride, we take care of all our people. May we find the strength to laugh. May we make space for freedom. And most importantly, may we all make the effort to notice the one who is excluded, left behind, or shut out. And now we light our chalice, which is lit everywhere Unitarians gather in prayer, celebration, searching, and love. And this is the Pride Flame. We light this flame to ignite our hearts and minds, the spark of knowledge that enlightens, the shimmering hope that burns, the blazing love that engulfs our actions, the bonfire of our commitment. We light this flame for those who celebrate themselves, who fear, who hope, who persevere, who stand on the side of love for all. And we light this flame to celebrate our kaleidoscope of diversity, working, loving, and living on the side of love. For all of this, we light this flame. This sacred space, which is gifted to us, is now alive with the friendship, song, poetry, and the wisdom of many souls. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and be inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other. Amen. Now let us turn to the back of our hymn book and read the words that outline what we as a community hold. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve mankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony with the divine. This do we covenant with each other and with God. And our first hymn this morning is number 298, Wake Now My Senses. And our first reading this morning will now be read by Sean.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. My name is Sean. I am a transgender man. When I was born, the doctor said, it's a girl, and I tried to be a girl and then a woman for many years. But one day when I was 27, I realized I would only be happy if I was myself. So I am a man. I wanted to change my body. I wanted to add testosterone to my body so that I would go through male puberty. And I've been doing that for a while. My body's changing, and I feel like a human being. I feel like I can live and imagine a future for myself like everyone else. Ireland is ranked worst in the EU for trans healthcare. If a trans person here wants to change their body, they have to wait many years just for an initial appointment, or they have to use expensive private services to get the prescriptions and health monitoring that they need. There's a better way, because there is an informed consent model for trans healthcare that many countries around the world provide, and we could do it here. It wouldn't be impossible. Trans people could go to their GP, talk to them about how they're thinking of changing their body, get the information they need about the possible risks and how to get health checkups. When they knew everything they needed to know, they could make their final choice about what they wanted to do, and then they could start. But we would need your help. We need allies to help us make healthcare accessible to all trans people who need it. A lot of people don't have the information that they would need to help. They don't know how many barriers there are for people to access it here. Different people I know have completely different experiences, even though they should all have the same right to access and to understand what's going to happen to them. After the service, if you're still around, I'll have some information sheets that you can read and links to websites that talk more about this problem. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Sean. So are there any children in the house? No, we're all children, so okay. So our story for children and young people today is a story just about life. And it's written by Ari Chung, and I've made a couple of modifications. I hope you don't mind. So in the beginning, there were three kinds of people: the reds, the yellows, and the blues. Now the reds were the loudest, of course. The yellows were the brightest, and the blues were the coolest. Now everyone lived in color harmony until one afternoon when a red said, "Reds are the best." The yellows disagreed, no, we're the best because we're the brightest. The blues were too cool to even respond, but they weren't very happy. So the colors decided to live in separate parts of the city. So we've got Redfield, Ballymun-ish, Bluetown, which was maybe around Talla, Clondalkin, and then Yellow Avenue was by the sea in Dunleary. Now, after many, 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 many years, decades, centuries even apart, one day a yellow got curious and wandered near Bluetown. And then he saw his first blue. And something quite amazing happened. Yellow said, "I feel so happy when I'm near you." And Blue replied, "I feel so calm when I'm near you." And Yellow and Blue became inseparable. Life felt so vibrant, but not all the colors were happy about this. "I don't like yellow's effect on blue. Colors shouldn't mix. The blue isn't bright enough for our yellow." But Yellow and Blue, they loved each other. They loved each other so much that they decided to mix and said, "We're having a wedding." And off they went to the Unitarian Church, of course. So together, they created a new color. And they named them green, obviously. So green was bright like yellow and calm like blue. But really, they were a color all of their own. Everyone was fascinated. Even the grumpy colors fell in love with green. "They are so cute, and I've never seen anything like them before." Then all of the colors began to see new possibilities. Soon all of the colors mixed. Different shades of purple appeared, and they mixed and mixed. There were so many new colors, and lots of new colors were created, and they named them jade, lavender, amber, etc. Now, the old neighborhoods of Redville, Bluetown, and Yellow Avenue didn't make sense anymore. Everyone wanted to live together. So they rebuilt the city, and the new city, of course, was full of color. It wasn't perfect, but it was home, and it looked much more beautiful when all mixed together. Amen. So now, given that story, let us sing together hymn number 23, Bring Many Names. Our second reading is from Walking Toward Morning by Victoria Safford. She's an author and minister of the White Bear Unitarian Universalist Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. And the passage I'm going to read is from a book entitled Any Other Questions? People ask me sometimes, is this a gay church? Well, it's a privilege to answer. Ours is absolutely, gladly, hopefully, and humbly, gaily a gay church, a gay tradition, where everyone, including heterosexual members and friends, is welcome, where everyone is needed, where everyone's experience is cherished as a sacred text, because no one's experience of living or loving can be comprehensive, because each of us holds clues the others need about how to live with dignity and joy as a human person, and none of us knows enough about that yet to be considered whole. It is absolutely a gay church, even as ours is a gay world, if you would look around. Gay church, straight church, people's church, a human congregation made holy by the holy hopes and fears and dreams of all who wish to come. Come in, we say, come out, come in. We're all in this together. I will not speak of tolerance with his courteous clenched teeth and bitter resignation. I will not speak about acceptance of other people and some other kind of lifestyle. I can only look in laughing wonder at human life in all its incarnations. I can taste only in passing the breath of the spirit of life in my mouth and understand our common longing to breathe in deep. Deep gulps of it. I cannot think of being anyone else's ally, even because that implies some degree of separation, some degree of safety for some of us, but not all. We are allied with no one and with nothing but love, the larger love transcending all our understanding, within which all the different, differing, gorgeously various, variant, beautifully deviant aspects of ourselves are bound in elegant unity. I know that on some sad and disappointing days, these words describe the church that yet shall be and not the church that is. I know. But I know too that to answer is an act of creation. To answer this question and some others is a privilege, a prophetic imperative, a joy, a duty, and a holy sacrament. At this time in our service, I invite you to listen to one person's understanding of who God might be. Shailon Harkin begins each verse of her poem outlining the worst things that were done with the concept of God. And then we'll all sit in silence, and I invite you to think about who you believe, what you believe about God, who or what God is in your life, and if you do not subscribe to a belief in God, think about what you take as sacred in your life. And our meditation will be brought to a close by a beautiful musical reflection, Pastoral Enfantine by Cécile Chanemond, and that will be played by Shari and Josh. Shailon Harkin. The worst thing we ever did was put God in the sky, out of reach, pulling the divinity from the leaf, sifting out the holy from our bones, insisting God isn't bursting dazzlement through everything we've made, a hard commitment to see as ordinary, stripping the sacred from everywhere to put in a cloud man elsewhere, prying closeness from your heart. The worst thing we ever did was take the dance and the song out of prayer, made it sit up straight and cross its legs, removed it of rejoicing, wiped clean its hip sway, its questions, its ecstatic yowl, its tears. The worst thing we ever did is pretend God isn't the easiest thing in this universe, available to every soul in every breath. Eccentric God by Shailen Harkin. The Unitarian Universalist Church of Wilmington posted this message from a young person on their social media recently, and it read, "Dear Church with the rainbow flag, thank you for being brave enough to put a flag up. I'm not religious, but if there is a God, I am glad they have you. And I do hope that God is glad to have us, and we are glad to have each other in pride. And as there is a spark, no, a flame of the divine within us all, namaste, I greet the God in you." Meister Eckhart, a medieval Dominican who faced charges of heresy, said every creature is a book about God. And I add that every creature under the sun is indeed unique. There is no one like you in the whole world. And this is a cause of celebration. I didn't have a title for this service. I just wished it to be known as Pride. But there is a song in our hymn book that we sing often. And it is called We Are a Gentle, Angry People. And Josh played the tune at the beginning of the service. The verses of the hymn describes us who sit in the pews. We are young and old together. We are a land of many colors. And in the fourth verse, we sing, we are gay and straight together. And we are singing, singing for our lives. And if I was to gently rework the lyric, I would sing, we are alive in pride together. And we are singing, singing for our lives. So this address is probably best described as gentle and angry. I am gentle as I describe what I believe to be true, but I am angry at the continuing harassment and violence inflicted upon members of the LGBTIQA+ community, or the Pride community, as I've chosen to describe us. And by the Pride community, if I may, include all those who embrace diversity with love, all the mams and dads, the sisters and brothers, the friends and lovers, allies and fighters. Embracing pride encourages gentleness and anger, but also strength and joy. Members of the Pride community endure hatred, oppression, violence, and isolation. And it is pride that should be an act of resistance, a protest, a coming out. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. Gay, straight, black, brown, white, cis, trans, non-binary, asexual, woman, man. Now, many people struggle with the terms used when talking about sexuality and gender. Part of my work involves providing capacity-building workshops on gender and sexuality, and it's specifically for those who work with young people, and it is designed to help adults who work with young LGBTIQ+ people, the young Pride community. And it helps them to build their knowledge and also to work through how they can create safe and healthy spaces where young people can belong, grow, and develop. And as part of the training, I begin by telling those present a little about myself, what the issue means to me, a personal story that might speak to the subject of gender and sexuality. And this is the story. In 1997, I encountered hatred and violence after a night out in town. I was beaten unconscious and spent a week in hospital. I was left with a fractured eye socket, horrific bruising in both body and soul, and I awoke in hospital as the doctor was examining me to see if I'd suffered other more intimate injuries. I had survived my teens despite the absolute terror of being found out, only to suffer the hatred of homophobia as an adult. Growing up, I never felt there was anything wrong about me. I just couldn't understand why people in my life were so disparaging towards people in the Pride community, so I hid myself. And like Panty Bliss in her noble call to the people of Ireland, delivered on the Abbey stage just before the same-sex referendum, I checked myself, so my true self is not revealed. And I feel a deep sadness about that. Panty called it oppressive, and indeed it is. And even today, I find myself unconsciously checking myself so that my sexuality isn't so obvious. As I learnt on that night in Dublin City, my city, one's identity can get you into serious trouble. It was an assault not only on my body, but on my soul. And I can't quite shake that feeling, that fear, even today. And indeed, it feels oppressive. Wounds don't really heal. They become companions and scars and bruises telling the truth. There's a story told about a man called Jesus who suffered horrific violence because he challenged the religious authorities. The story goes that after he died, he appeared to his followers. And despite his supposed resurrection from the dead, his wounds had not disappeared. He showed those to whom he appeared his injuries. And like Jesus, we too carry our injuries throughout our lives, whether physically manifested in our bodies or deeply hidden in emotional pain. And when it comes to young people, we need to enable them to build their resilience by letting them know that life will present big and small challenges. Resilience is about knowing that, and being able to respond with courage and hope. And of course, this applies to all young people, regardless of their gender or sexuality. Hatred of the Pride community was inspired by an unholy collision between church and state and others. And truly, the next violent attack is just around the corner. It could be a statement by a state actor, a columnist, a comment on social media. It's all just around the corner. Una Mullally wrote in the Irish Times last week, "The dichotomy is there, the progress and the regression, the joy and the pain, the celebration and the fight. It all coexists." Same-sex sexual activity was decriminalized in 1993, and 22 years later, we celebrated the outcome of the same-sex referendum. But changing laws alone does not always lead to social recognition, greater respect, or love. The streets don't change that much. So to the term LGBTIQA+, I don't intend to explain it all today. I do have, like Sean, an information sheet if you would like to take one after the service. But I will, however, encourage you to consider a few things. One, the fact that we don't live in a binary world. We live in a world made up of spectrums. It's not as simple as gay or straight, male or female, and it never was. I'll also speak about what the Hebrew and Christian scriptures might say about this. There are middle spaces, spaces to the left, to the right, upside down spaces, inside out spaces, and thank God for them. Life is complex. We are multitudes. Bodies and minds are complex, and understanding who we are in terms of our gender and sexuality is complex. But it is a person's truth, not complex to me, but may very well be complex to you. And there is nothing new in that. There is truly nothing new under the sun. In my day, we didn't have this. Well, yes, you did, but it was hidden, laden with guilt, unacceptable, and firmly locked in the closet. There are centuries-old stories of people who were both celebrated and reviled for their gender and sexual identities. And as we increasingly reject harmful attitudes and laws, the greater the visibility of the Pride community. Come into the light, I say, so that we may celebrate and affirm your lives. Walk with those you meet who question or embrace their gender or sexuality. Listen to them. They will tell you who they are. Empathize with their soul. They will assign a label for themselves. So you see, members of the Pride community are just people who fall out of society's deeply held views of what is normal. You know what I mean. Boys will play with boys' toys and wear boys' clothes. They will have girlfriends, they will marry them, and they will have children. Girls will play with girls' toys, wear girls' clothes, have boyfriends, marry them, and have children. Both will be assigned a sex at birth, and expectations about their lives will flow from that. And once the doctor ticks the male or female box on the form, mom and dad and everyone around them has their expectations and their assumptions set. The Human Rights Campaign has an online resource from which I'm going to quote. And it says, "Religion has been the source of both solace and suffering for many lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people." And before I continue, I wish to assure you, and you know this, those who are regular visitors here, you will not find a more welcoming and inclusive spiritual house as this one. We not only look to offer solace, as we learned from the address given by Rory Delaney a few weeks ago, we like to assign a label to ourselves, the most dissenting church of all. There is not only acceptance and respect, there is celebration, particularly when we preside over same-sex weddings. The Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church, a text which contains dogmas and teachings of the Church, names homosexual acts as intrinsically immoral and contrary to the natural law, and names homosexual tendencies as objectively disordered. Tendencies. That's enough. I will say no more about that. The Church of Ireland and other mainstream or regular Christian churches just rejects homosexual relationships as incompatible with Scripture. And the debate goes on within those churches regarding gender identity and human sexuality. The Presbyterian Church in Ireland pretty much sums it up for most mainstream Christian churches. And it states that same-sex relationships is not consistent with the word of God, but love and hope is extended to all. Well, thank you for that. Hinduism, interestingly, Hinduism says everything in this world is a reflection of the original, subtle, and spiritual reality. It does not have a position on same-sex relationships. The Karma Sutra actually recommends it. And Hinduism recognizes a third sex, those who do not wish or cannot procreate, or those disinterested in sex, what we might call ace or asexual. Islam, cultural norms, traditional readings of sacred texts, they normally hold a heteronormative binary of gender identification. LGBTI Muslims do not feel welcome generally in mainstream mosques. Reformed Judaism and Orthodox Judaism have two very differing views. And then Unitarians, and of course, we know about Unitarians, but let me just say, the Unitarian Universalist Association that we are very close friends with, they say we not only open our doors to people of all sexual orientations and gender identities, we value diversity of sexuality and gender and see it as a spiritual gift. Amen. And with this church, we do not dissent from this position. We simply say that a person's gender and sexuality is to be respected and celebrated and free from discrimination. No two oak trees are the same. No two daisies, no two cats, no two humans are the same. We all have a unique code, a unique set of biological traits, but all have a spark or a flame of the divine. And all are connected to the vital energy that gives life and sustenance to creation. Now, some call this God, the first mover, the creator. You have your own understanding or not of God. We will not define that for you. And we all have the freedom to search for the truth. But I do want to address Scripture. To those who quote Scripture as a justification for the condemnation of the pride community, we might look at Leviticus. So alongside eating pork, shellfish, wearing clothes with different materials and sowing two crops, differing crops side by side, it says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Now, this is commonly known as a clobber passage. The word homosexual, by the way, does not appear anywhere in Scripture before 1946. And translating anything from an ancient language, of course, is fraught with difficulty. Now, this clobber passage actually refers to incestuous relationships. Some argue that. Some say it actually the original Hebrew text referred to child abuse, not consensual sexual relations between people of the same sex. But it is pretty clear on eating shellfish and pork chops. But seriously, are we going to stone to death those farmers with rasher sandwiches, wearing clothes with different materials, sowing their crops, their different crops side by side? No, we're not. What about enslavement of human beings? And there are clear rules in Scripture about how to treat your slaves and when to set them free. Leviticus, Deuteronomy have different rules. They deal with it differently. Is this the word of the Lord? In Deuteronomy, we have calls for the stoning of non-virgin brides and both couples in the case of adultery. So these early books of the Old Testament, and we know this, they contain many harsh commandments and regulations, much of which cannot be reconciled with the teachings of Jesus, and certainly not with our innate sense of justice and human rights. But there is one beautiful love story in the Old Testament, and I reckon it's the first written account of love at first sight. And it's the story of David and Jonathan. And it's told in the book of Samuel. When he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, And David loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his armor and even his sword and his bow and his girdle. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. So Saul sent him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all of the people. Now Jonathan was a warrior in King Saul's army. David was a musician in the court, but he was also the guy who took down Goliath, David and Goliath. Now they were both married to women, that's okay, and they had often a challenging relationship because war and politics got in the way. But when Jonathan died, David wrote a lament, and he said, "Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of a woman." We are told in Genesis, in the creation story, and there are two very different creation stories in Genesis, that God made us in their own image. And if that is so, my gender and sexuality reflects God's image. God knit me together in my mother's womb, as the psalm says. Yes, I am who I am, no excuses needed. Male and female, God made them. Yes, of course, and I'm being facetious here maybe, but how else would we be able to make more fabulous human beings? But within that spectrum of male and female, we find diversity and difference, not a strict binary. We know that because of our experience. We know that because of the obvious diversity we encounter in the world. And it is beautiful, and that calls for celebration. Paul in the New Testament decried homosexuality, but we need context here. He was writing for a particular people in a particular time, and he was not a fan of sex. He believed God's return was just around the corner, any day now, so there was no time for any sport or fun. People should prepare. Besides, Paul did not use the words gay or homosexual. As I said, that only appeared in 1946. I could go on about St. Paul, but I won't. Jesus, just to mention that Jesus said nothing either way about gender or sexuality. Well, he did really. He said that where love is, God is. And while the Pharisees and the religious zealots at the time were quoting laws from the Old Testament at him, he said, "I give you a new law, love. All that is done in love is good in the eyes of God." And he outlines the golden rule, already spoken by prophets long before him, "Do unto others what you would have them do to you." And there's nothing more to be said. From our point of view here in this church, and we say this many times, we do not hold that the Bible or the scriptures are God's definitive word. It is a collection of books written over thousands of years by people in particular contexts and in communities not like our own. We read it, we interpret it for ourselves. We use our reason, our conscience, and most importantly, we put it into the context of our lived experience. To conclude, I wish I had heard the words of that great Unitarian Walt Whitman when I was a young man. In preface to Leaves of Grass, he writes, "Re-examine all you have been told in school and in church or in any book. Dismiss whatever insults your own soul, and your very flesh will be a great poem." Now, knowing these words might have helped me articulate to myself how I might have been true to myself and those around me. So I invite you all to re-examine all that you have been told. A great poem speaks universal truths, no more so than those who fall out of what is considered normal. We fall in love with life that is a kaleidoscope of colors and ideas, of identities and spectrums. And God looks and sees it is good. For all expression of love is good. It comes from God, the creator of beauty and truth. Look in deep inside yourself, for there you will find your identity. It is good, and is a reflection of God's love. And I am thankfully living that great poem of my life now, and I hope you are too. Finally, I call on those of faith who seek to speak the truth. Keep your dogma, keep your rules and doctrines, if you wish. Refrain from your hateful rhetoric about those in the Pride community, for it is not compatible with God's love for all of creation. It is disordered, it is perverted, it is intrinsically evil and objectively disordered. Only speak when you have words of wisdom, prophecy, and love. Dear Church with the rainbow flag, thank you for allowing me to speak about Pride. Thank you for the courage to say to the world, love is the doctrine of this church. I am lucky to have you. Amen. Okay, let's sing. Our third hymn is number 123, Spirit of Life, and after which we'll have the collection. Our notices. Please join us for tea and coffee downstairs after the service. And you can have a word. You can challenge me if you like or ask for clarification. I have these information about LGBTQ plus terminology if anyone is interested. And Sean also has some stuff for you. Thank you to everyone who contributed to today's service, those who prepared the church, played the music, welcomed us, read for us, and those who are making coffee right now downstairs. There is a new auscult. Please take one with you on your way out. As part of my ministry training in the Unitarian College, I'm tasked with designing and facilitating a short series of religious education workshops. So what I'm doing is I'm proposing to run 4 sessions for you on Lectio Divina, or sacred reading. Lectio Divina is essentially a dialogue between the written word and life experience, and it has been practiced in the church for centuries. So essentially we take a text, could be a poem, a passage of scripture, a short story, and we learn how to meditate with it. We learn to contemplate on it and perhaps find a meaning for it for our lives. And it fits perfectly with the Unitarian heart because we seek out meaning and truth from many sources, not just scriptures. And at some point in the course, then you'll be asked to bring your own particular sacred text. And at the end of the 4 sessions, you will have the opportunity to assess me by filling out a feedback form. So I'm proposing to have these workshops here in the church on maybe Tuesday evening in July and maybe into August. When the clouds are scarce in the sky, the church is lit up beautifully here in the evenings. So please talk to me after the service. I have maybe 11 or 12 names already, but if you haven't given me your name, please do, and I'll make sure to contact you. The Unitarian Walkers are taking to the Devil's Glen on their postponed walk on Saturday, the 6th of July. The walk, which will be led by Marcus, will begin in Ashford, in County Wicklow, at 11. And if you'd like to join them, please see Marcus or someone in the walking club to be added to their WhatsApp group. And finally, we marched proudly in Pride yesterday, and thanks to all who joined us, and thanks to you as well who were there with us in love. And our final hymn today is number 77, Seek Not Afar for Beauty. Our final blessing. If here you have found freedom, Take it with you into the world. If you have found comfort, go and share it with others. If you have dreamed dreams of a better, more just world, work to make those dreams a reality. If you have known love, give some back to a bruised and hurting world. God of the wind, God of the sun, God of our most precious world, bless us in all our diversity. Amen. Amen.